Hey everyone, and welcome to Bust or Trust, a kids' mystery podcast. I'm Tiernan.
And I'm Athena. Bust or Trust is the podcast where we unravel the world's greatest mysteries with help from you, our chief detectives.
We present all the best evidence and then ask you to decide, which team are you on?
Are you a myth buster like me?
Or are you a myth truster like me? We look into all sorts of strange stories from around the world. No mystery is too big for us. Like, why do we talk about the nighttime as after dark when it's actually after light?
That's a good point. Maybe the person who came up with it slept during the day, then woke up at night and turned the light on.
Like a vampire.
No, I mean someone who works at night.
That's what I said. Anyway, we tell you at the end of the show just how to get in touch so you can let us know if you're on Team Buster or the best one, Team Truster.
So, Chief Detectives, get ready to take notes and start putting together your case while we have a quick word with the grown-ups.
Well, hello there, grown-ups. Did you know that we depend on your generosity and support to keep making Bust or Trust?
If you subscribe and support Bust or Trust on Patreon or Apple Podcasts, you'll get access to lots of lovely extras like weekly subscriber bonus episodes with extra evidence, ad-free listening and early access to all our episodes. More to come soon.
To support Bust or Trust, just click subscribe in Apple Podcasts or visit patreon.com/BustorTrustPodcast. Or for more information, visit our website at bustortrust.com.
The case.
Athena, is this helpful for this week's case? I got them all especially.
I'm not sure it's helpful that we can't move for little glass jars everywhere, Tiernan. How many are there?
I don't know. I stopped counting after number 37. But it will get us in the right mindset to think about the Bay of Jars, right? You know, by seeing all the jars, thinking about jars being, jars.
Ugh. The Bay of Jars was a discovery off the coast of Brazil of a number of Roman amphoras, which are large clay jars, not these little glass jam jars. And besides, what happened to all the jam that was in them?
Never mind about that. Okay, I didn't realise I'd got the wrong sort of jars, but what can we tell the chief detectives that we do know about this case then?
Well, this week we're going to Guanabara Bay, which is on the southeastern coast of Brazil, just west of the country's capital, Rio de Janeiro. Brazil is a country known for many things, including the Amazon rainforest, some of the world's most famous footballers, and the Rio Carnival. The main language spoken in Brazil is Portuguese.
This is because in the year 1500, the explorer Pedro Alvares Cabral was the first European to arrive on its shores and claim the country for the Portuguese Empire. It remained a Portuguese colony until the 1800s, or so it was thought.
Because in 1982, an American marine archaeologist and treasure hunter called Robert Marks dived into the waters of Guanabara Bay and recovered two amphoras, or clay jars, that he claimed were from an ancient Roman ship.
And if those jars were from the time Marx claimed they were, that would mean Europeans arrived in Brazil 1,700 years before Pedro Alvares ever set foot in the country.
But the Brazilian government said it was all a hoax and they banned the treasure hunter Robert Marx from entering Brazil ever again. Meanwhile, academics say the Romans definitely never made a voyage across the Atlantic Ocean.
So, Chief Detectives, it's up to you to decide. Are the jars that were found in Guanabara Bay really from ancient Rome, or is it a load of crock?
Well, we know for sure they weren't little jam jars, so please put those in the recycling bin, please.
But you haven't seen what else I can do with them, Athena. Listen to the real jar jam.
How did you learn to do that? And more importantly, why? Do you know what would bring real harmony to this case? Getting on with it.
Okay. Let's open up the first pot of evidence.
First piece of evidence.
Are you ready, Athena?
Ready for what?
A real deep dive into the case. Hold your breath. In 1976, lobster divers, that's people who dive to fish for lobsters, not very Olympic lobsters, they found a shard of a ceramic pot in the depths of Guanabara Bay. It was covered in barnacles and looked very, very old. So another diver went in and managed to recover two complete clay jars. They had handles on either side and looked just like the jars people in Mediterranean countries long ago had used for storing things in. They're known as amphoras. Specialists argued over how old these jars were, but in 1982, a marine archaeologist and treasure hunter called Robert Marks gained permission to properly explore the site. He had been investigating shipwrecks for over 30 years and so knew how to look for artifacts under the sea. He dove 90 feet down, or nearly 30 metres, and discovered the remains of 200 broken amphoras and several complete ones.
Ooh, that is a lot of jars.
You're telling me? Someone must have really liked jam.
Amphoras were used throughout history to store oil, wine, milk, or grain, not jam.
Well, that's their loss. Imagine having 200 jars of jam.
Oh, whatever was in them, I'm not sure you'd want it after it'd been underwater for possibly thousands of years.
I don't know, Athena. Sea salt is a very popular flavour. Marks took these remains to a specialist in Roman amphoras at the University of Massachusetts, and she said they were just like the ones made in Cus, a Roman Empire colony on the Atlantic coast of Morocco. Marks explored the site more using sound wave technology and was certain that underneath the pot fragments there was the remains of a Roman vessel that had been blown off course, and that could prove that they reached Brazil long before the Portuguese explorer Pedro Alvares Cabral.
Okay, we should always be ready to change what we know about history when other evidence appears. But you're leaving out a few things here, Tiernan. Firstly, Robert Marks may have been very good at diving, but he's not very well respected as a marine archaeologist.
Really? But he discovered over 2,000 shipwrecks, including two of Christopher Columbus's boats, and Christopher Columbus's remains, which got him a knighthood from Spanish royalty.
Okay, sure, that is very impressive. But there's also a number of critics who say Robert Marks was mainly in it for finding treasure and the press coverage he got from it. He was found to be selling a number of items from shipwrecks and keeping the money he got from them. And he would exaggerate just what he found, so it helped support theories that he had. Marks had believed for a long time that the Americas, North and South, had been discovered many years before Christopher Columbus or Pedro Alvarez Cabral had found them. So, when he found these amphoras, he was already biased to think it proved him right. Bias is when you lean towards a result or theory because it works for what you already believe, rather than really examining the evidence.
Okay, Athena, but if Robert Marks was bottling up the truth for his own theories, then how do you explain piece of evidence number two?
Second piece of evidence.
The second piece of evidence is that the Brazilian government banned Robert Marks, and in fact anyone else, from exploring underwater anywhere on the 4,600-metre coastline of Brazil. Robert Marks' discovery became big news, and Marks said in interviews that it could change the whole history of Brazil. This was a problem, as at the time, Brazil had a strict government led by a ruler named João Figueiredo. They didn't like people questioning their ideas or beliefs, especially in a country where Catholicism was widespread. They were very tough on anyone who challenged them, so they didn't like the idea of Brazil being discovered by anyone but the Catholic Portuguese explorer Pedro Alvarez Cabral. Many Brazilian politicians, including the president, João Figueiredo, and the Brazilian church, all condemned Marks for his discovery, calling it a hoax. Not only that, but when Marks went back to the site in 1983, he found everything had been covered in a huge pile of silt, which is a type of fine sand, making it even harder to dig for any artifacts. Marks accused the government of doing this and told the press that they'd said to him that Brazilians didn't care about the past and don't want to replace Cabral as the country's discoverer. Then in 1984, all underwater exploration was made illegal and Robert Marks was banned from entering the country. Now, why would they do that if there was nothing to hide?
Well, the Brazilian government story was a little bit different. They said that they didn't cover anything up and that the ban on Robert Marks and anyone else diving was to do with him taking property from other shipwrecks and selling it. Brazilian officials showed a catalogue from an auction in Amsterdam in 1983. An auction is a sale where items get bought by whoever bids the most money. In this auction were gold coins, instruments, and lots of other artifacts from shipwrecks on the Brazilian coast found by Robert Marks. They were being sold on his behalf, meaning he would get the money they were sold for. When the officials tried to contact him about those items, Marks just ignored them or answered the phone saying, "Don't bother me," then hung up.
Wow, that is rude. But then who uses phones to call people? Weirdos.
Well, our chief detectives may not believe this, but in 1983, you couldn't send a text, so they had no choice.
Wow, the past was very strange. But even though that's what the Brazilian government said, they weren't going to admit they covered up ancient jars in sand, were they? That would just prove Robert Marks was right. Besides, if what Marks found was a hoax, then the last piece of evidence is very strange indeed.
Third piece of evidence.
The fragments of the amphoras were taken to the University of London and tested using something called thermoluminescence. This is a scientific method where materials are heated up until they produce light, and by doing so, they can see the last time it was heated up. So for a clay amphora, they would be able to tell when it was put into a kiln and made. And get this, Athena, the test showed that the pots Marks had found were from even longer ago than previously thought, maybe even older than 19 BC.
Wow, those are old amphoras. Now, I definitely wouldn't recommend using the oil or milk that was in them. Blah, blah. But thermoluminescence is only very accurate for finding something's age up to 100 years. After that, it becomes less precise. Not only that, but it only measures when an item was last heated, so fires or heat waves could change the results. Perhaps more interestingly, though, in this case, a Brazilian businessman called America Santarelli said the jars were actually his. He said they were made in the 1960s, and to make them look aged, he put 16 in the sea, but only managed to get four of them back before Robert Marks made his discovery.
Oh, really? Then how did the test show they were from 19th century BC? How badly does the sea age items? And if it does, then why do mermaids always look so pretty instead of all wrinkly?
That's a good point. About the tests, I mean, not the mermaids. We discussed those before, Tiernan. But whether the jars were made by America Santarelli or not, academics largely agree that the Romans never made a trip across the Atlantic Ocean, so it can't have been them.
Which is strange, as there have been many Roman artefacts found all over the Americas, including coins, swords, art, and more. Not only that, but Roman items found in Mediterranean countries all resemble the ones found across the Americas, including the amphoras in the Bay of Jars. So either someone should ask Santarelli just how he makes such accurate historical things, or he's a big fibber.
What nobody seems to have answered is just why were there over 200 jars? Who needs that many jars? Hello? Is anyone there? Hello? I saw the sign outside saying the shop was open and...
Jars!
Ah! You scared the life out of me. What are you doing?
Welcome to my world of jars. People travel from afar to see just how many types of pots I have right here. The answer's lots and lots and lots.
Oh, I see. Well, I was just...
There are jars for peas and jars for bees, jars for geckos and chimpanzees, jars for ointments used by nurses, and special jars to contain curses.
Oh, all curses. Oh, no, I'm okay. I just need...
Do you need to keep some gravy? This jar's for seawater, oh so wavy. Inside this one, no one knows, and right in here goes your spare toes.
I don't have any spare toes. I was just seeing if you...
I have jars for anything that you need to store. From liquids, potions, strange ancient ghosts and more. Jars for cars and jars for spells. Jars for sharks and jars for smells. I have got so many pots. Lots and lots and lots and lots. Now, how may I help?
I just wondered if you sell Tupperware.
Get out!
Tupperware is useful, though. Oh, if you can find the right lid for it.
That's why it needs a question mark at the end of its name. Tupperware?
Very true. Hopefully, our chief detectives have found the solution that fits this case, because now it's time for them to decide. Is the Bay of Jars ancient Roman crockery?
Or a treasure hunter's hoax mockery? Time to recap the evidence.
Evidence recap.
The first piece of evidence is that marine archaeologist Robert Marks found remains of over 200 amphora jars at Guanabara Bay in Brazil. And experts in Roman artefacts said they looked like they'd come from the ancient Roman Empire, proving Brazil had been discovered by Romans thousands of years earlier than previously thought.
But critics say Robert Marks would often exaggerate his findings, meaning he makes them bigger than they are. He was also known for taking treasure for himself and enjoying getting press and fame for his findings.
The second piece of evidence is that the Brazilian government put a ban on anyone doing marine exploration around its coastline and a ban on Robert Marks from entering the country. Plus, it appears they covered up the site where the jars were found, making it harder to explore. This is because they didn't want to change Brazilian history to say the country was discovered by someone who wasn't Catholic.
But the Brazilian government denies doing any of that and says they banned Robert Marx because they had evidence he was taking items from shipwrecks off their coast and selling them for his own profits.
The last piece of evidence is that thermoluminescence tests, which can tell when an item was last heated up, like a clay jug in a kiln, said the amphoras were older than they thought, possibly even from before 19 BC.
But thermoluminescence gets less accurate the older something is. And a Brazilian businessman claimed he'd actually made the jars in the 1960s and he put them in the sea to give them an aged look.
So now we're handing it over to you, Chief Detectives.
What do you think? Are you a Bay of Jars Mythbuster?
Or a Bay of Jars Mythtruster? Get in touch and let us know your thoughts. And most importantly, which side you're on. I bet none of you can contain the excitement at being on Team Truster this week.
I'll put a lid on it, Tiernan. This is definitely a win for Team Buster. Send us your voice notes with an explanation of why you're a Myth Truster or Myth Buster when it comes to whether the Bay of Jars is proof that the ancient Romans crossed the Atlantic or just a hoax shockery or fake crockery.
All you have to do is ask your grown-ups to help you email us your voice notes or thoughts to hello@bustortrust.com.
Tell us your name, age, what you think all the evidence means. And please, please make sure your grown-ups give us permission to use your voice notes or emails in our next episode. You can also send us a question on Spotify Q&A, but please get permission from your parents and don't include any personal details so we can publish them safely. We won't always be able to use all of them.
Ah, but it is our favourite thing to hear from you. And here are some thoughts from you lot, our chief detectives, on the last few episodes. We've had this in from Alistair about our episode on the man-eating tree of Madagascar. Alistair says, please, can you do an episode on whether werewolves exist? Alistair, aged 4.5, from Kauai. Yeah, I think we should definitely do an episode on whether werewolves exist, Alistair, which, I mean, it's, let's just say it now, they do, so it'll be a really easy episode to do.
Well, I can actually do the episode right now. Like, let's do
there
it.
You go, then.
Welcome to Bustle Trust, a kids' mystery podcast. Werewolves don't exist. We'll see you next time for another exciting episode.
Well, what I say to that is, ow!
And Max has responded to our episode about the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter, and Max says, a bit spooked. Well, Max, it's okay to be spooked by things that aren't real. You know, it's like watching a scary movie. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, also, tiny little aliens are spooky. And even, which I don't think they were, if they were angry owls, to be honest, I'd be quite spooked by angry owls as well. Don't mess with angry owls. Craig has left us a Spotify Q&A about our episode on Bigfoot. I'm a buster because it could just be someone's big, fat, hairy uncle. Yes, Craig, I love the idea, even though I'm on Team Truster, that maybe all someone spotted in the woods was an uncle going, oh, I'm just going to go have a woodland walk. Hilarious.
If Craig's uncle is listening, I think he's just talking about generic uncles. He's not talking about
so.
You.
I think so. We have had this message on Apple from Etta Love. So cool. I love this podcast. My favourite one is the Loch Ness Monster. It is the best thing ever. Well, it's my second favourite. I don't know how to pronounce the first one. That is fair, Etta. And thank you. We are so cool. I'm wearing my sunglasses right now, in fact.
Yeah. I wonder what episode's really hard to pronounce.
The Scribbler Fibbler Incident.
Oh, yeah. I can never do that. It's really hard.
Probably that one. Probably that one.
So hard. What brilliant listeners we have. I think they might be smarter than you, Tiernan.
I mean, very possibly. And if you enjoyed the show, please follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Amazon Music or wherever you listen to your podcasts for more great episodes. We love to hear what you think, so please do rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It helps more detectives find, bust or trust. And of course, we'll read out some of them on the show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for more Bust or Trust. Please, can you get rid of all those glass jars now and put them in the recycling? Please, they had nothing to do with this week's case and they're taking up a lot of room.
Ugh, okay. Oh no, they'll have to stay.
What? Why?
Because the door is a door and not a jar.
Now hearing that joke was a jarring experience.